Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. They gave the phone number out, right?
Yeah.
TJ Qualls is on the show tonight. Before I get to him, let me just say one thing that I know is near and dear to Drew and yours truly as well. When you're on the freeway, when you're in that left lane, when you're in that fast lane, you gotta shake your pussy ass. Do you hear me talking to you? When the speed limit is 65 and you're doing 67, that ain't fast lane material. And here's the deal. Here's the other deal with the fast lane, all you pussies. When someone comes up behind you and they're right on you.
And or kindly flashes the lights.
And they just see headlights that are a little too close to you for a little too long. You move over. And here's how it works. I don't care if you're going 110. If somebody wants to get by and they're in that left lane, you got to slide over and let them by. That's the rules of the road.
And if
big pussies out there.
We understand that if you
drive me nuts.
Sometimes people are really out of it and they don't notice the headlights. But then if you flash the brights, then they notice you and then they slow down.
Yeah. Don't get aggressive about it. If I'm riding you and you're doing 67 and you're in the 65 fast lane and it's 12:30 at night and I want to do 85 and I give you a little shot of the head beam, just a little flicker of the high beam, just slide over and get the F out of the way. Don't just stay. Or hit the brakes. But don't just keep the same speed. That actually makes me more angry, Drew. Did you see this the other night when we were driving?
Yeah.
Same speed.
Strangely, it was 2 nights ago. Something gets you tonight, too.
On the way in, tonight. Just get the hell out of the way. You're in the fast lane. It's a fast lane. We got to get that back. I'm sorry, DJ Qualls. I'm sorry.
Right.
Well, the rest of the country, other than Los Angeles, considers it the passing lane.
No, we don't have that.
Yeah, but the point is, you get in, you don't park in it. You pass it.
Let me tell you something. This city has to be the absolute worst for driving.
No
way.
What's
the worst?
The South, people cannot drive in the South because you have a bunch of rural people coming into a big city and they don't know how to handle it.
Well, where are you from?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you like have horses and...
They have
like
Quakers and Shakers driving flatbed trucks who can't find their way around.
Right.
Yeah. We got worse, though. We got Mexicans here. Those, see, now here's the problem with the Mexicans, Drew. Uninsured and have had a few brushes with the law, not looking for any trouble. They're holding, you know the guy went in front of me? Let me tell you the guy went in front of me. I want a guy with a few beers in him who's fully insured, whose dad knows like the chief of police. And who just got a BJ and is riding high. You know what I mean? I want cocky. I want confident. I don't want scared and paranoid. That's the guy I get. All right. Hey, let's talk about this movie, Drew. The New Guy. I've seen this commercial at least 1,500 times.
Yeah. That's funny.
Which is nice. I like when the rope gets lit underneath you. What is this? What is this new movie about?
It's about a guy in high school who just sort of always dreams of being the guy, but everybody craps on him, so he can't take it anymore. So he basically gets kicked out of his school and winds up getting sent to jail, where he meets Eddie Griffin, who sort of gives him a makeover, and he transfers back to his new school with a bad reputation.
and it works?
Absolutely.
He finds love along the way?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Goddamn Spider-Man. Screwing up your opening. Now, was last week your opening weekend?
No, this week is.
Oh, this week is.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
There's hope.
Good, because I was thinking, I don't know if we made the top 20. Yeah. Good. Let that Spider-Man cool down. You know what drives me nuts about that Spider-Man is? Where were all the Spider-Man fans 3 weeks ago?
Right.
You know what I mean? Everyone's getting in line now. And I'm talking to guys I've known for 10 years tell me, oh, yeah, I'm going this weekend. I'm like, I haven't heard you mention Spider-Man your entire life. What do you mean you're going this? Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, no. What is that?
It's brainwashing.
Is that what it is?
Totally brainwashed.
Well, it's mob mentality.
Right. And is it, Drew, what are you doing?
I'm looking to see who's in the film.
Isn't it the sort of mentality of other people are going to be talking about it, and I want to know what they're talking about? Like when I show up at the office on Monday, Herb and Lou are going to be talking about Spider-Man, and I don't want to be standing there plugging my ears saying don't give it away.
I mean, see, it's even working on us because we're talking about it right now. I mean, I'm telling you.
Right.
It's all over the place. I mean, wherever Janine Garofalo is, she's probably really upset because she's all into that four companies control what the whole world sees.
Right. She's very angry. She's laughing all the way to the bank. She's so angry. But here's the thing, too. And here's how these big movies work. There'll be a very strong urge, and I think it works on just about all of us, to go. You'll get caught up in the fervor of the whole thing. And that fervor will last about 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
If the movie opens on a Friday, wait a minute, my mic going? Yeah. If the movie opens on a Friday, you'll start feeling it about Wednesday. But if you can hold off and not go see that movie, and I'm not talking about the new guy, I'm talking about Spider-Man, it will subside by Monday or Tuesday of the following
but
week.
Part of the fun of movies is the whole mentality of being in a group.
Right.
And
it's a communal experience.
Yeah, and then what happens to all those movies that are on pay-per-view now that I have no intention or desire to see, that I really wanted to see the middle of the week before the end of the week that they came out on?
You're not going to see them.
I know, but isn't that just a metaphor for life? That you really had a boner for this movie. Like, you were thinking on a Wednesday, oh, man, I want to go see it on Friday, but the line's going to be too long. Fast forward 6 months, you still haven't seen it. You're sitting home. It's on pay-per-view, and you're not going to spend the $2.99 to see it. You have no desire at this point. Doesn't that make us shallow?
Oh, of course. But, well, other things do, too. But I think we better go to the calls, Adam, because, like, three people have, like, died and fallen off the line in the time you've been on this diatribe. So
About the fast line?
Yeah. Okay. They killed a couple people, I think.
True. You know, my plan is to filibuster until everyone drops off.
I can't.
And then we go home.
You're right. Oh, way.
We're getting very close to that.
Yeah. We're getting smart.
So,
yeah.
DJ Qualls, the new guy, right?
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Brian.
Brian?
Yes, sir.
You're 25?
Sir.
What's up?
Dr. Drew, first of all, I want to tell you, I'm a paramedic, so I absolutely respect everything about you, everything you say.
Right.
Adam, you crack me up, man.
Thank you.
Absolutely crack me up.
That's right, Drew. You hear that? Thank you.
Absolutely crack me up. Got it.
Now, my question is, I guess fairly simple, straight to the point. But dating the same girl for about a year, little history on that. Her, we started seeing each other before she got a divorce, and, it kind of got hairy there for a while. But anyways, I've been seeing her for about a year. It was on again, off again. And we've been seeing each other for about, I guess, 2 weeks now. She got her own place and everything, and she wants me to move in. I'm not ready for all that. Still have sex occasionally. And it's like, she'll go down on me, and I won't, I guess, respond, as far as, ain't getting hard.
How about when you have sex? Any problems?
Well, it won't even happen when we're having sex because, it won't get to that point. But the strange thing is, when I go down on her, it's like good times.
You're in.
You get an erection going down on her?
Yeah, I know it's shocking to you. I know it's a staggering, startling idea.
Hold on a second. Now, I'm not trying to shake sense into myself. That is my technique for pleasure.
Now the other thing with her is, maybe this part of the problem, she cannot have an orgasm vaginally, through actual sex.
With oral sex only.
Her thing is oral sex.
All right. Brian, that's most women, actually, that are in that category.
Yeah.
So there you go. I need to know if he's on medication or not.
His phone line is so crappy.
Yeah, he's the first guy I've ever heard. He can't get it up because she can't have an orgasm?
No, he can't get it up because he can't get it up. And he starts with oral sex, and that's sort of surprising to him.
But he gets it up when he's doing oral to her.
Yep. Hey, Brian, are you on any medication?
No, sir.
Nothing?
No medication.
Trust him.
I don't know. I mean, it's stupid, but, I had, a little minor issue with, I had, a boil under my butt on my right leg, and I was thinking maybe, that has something to do with it, but it doesn't hurt me or anything anymore. I had a lance taken care of, and it's gone now, but, it's kind of like, one of those things now, I think, where, if somebody tells you don't think about pink elephants, the first
thing absolutely, and guys your age, that's the primary psychological reason that they get to trouble, is they stumble once, and now they're convinced it's going to happen again. And the anxiety caused by the thought of it possibly happening again is enough to make it happen again.
Yeah. This is what happens to me when I get stoned and I eat, and I think, how do I not bite my tongue? I got my tongue in there. I got a big peanut butter cookie in my mouth. My teeth are chomping away, and then usually within 3 seconds I bite my tongue. And, Drew, you know, I know the problem with this show is I have, like, ADD and I'm all over the place, but you're shutting your mug down on the countertop still.
I took care of it, but listen, there's stuff all over the place here. Yeah.
True. You don't want to look into that at all, huh? You don't look into this part, this thing, at the countertop, now that you got your big carpet sample there?
Yes, and I guarantee you at times I will still miss this thing. It just will happen. It will happen. That there's a lot of this stuff on this thing, and occasionally I will think and put it down.
All right. You should think about that.
I'll try to.
You should really think about it. On a psychological level. Yeah. Psychologically. You're not going
to
think about
it. No, I'll be happy to think about
it. All right. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
Yeah, I do. But these things, if they don't bother you, then you have to pay attention.
Let me just stop this show for a second. You understand, everybody, Drew's been setting his coffee mug down on the hard counter, making a noise and driving me nuts for 5 years. 5 years he's been doing this, right?
So we got a pad.
We talk about it every night. But you would never, like, dream of getting, like, a scratch pad or something, a magazine, anything, a piece of folded paper, and setting it down on top of that. That would never happen. Not in 5 years.
No.
There's nothing. There's not a paper cup that's been mashed down and flattened
because
down.
The problem is here. See, I do this during a lecture,
and he
hears this like it's
you
like
set the coffee
pounding
my
in his head.
Here's the deal. But everyone, just listen. Listen to the evilness that is Dr. Drew.
Right. Do you get high before you come to work? Are your senses really sort of
crazy out of control?
I hate
be careful,
extraneous
that
noises.
And they cut. You gotta be very careful.
It.
Be very careful.
I'll get the beat down before I walk out of here.
The guests can do what they like, Drew. It's you.
You've got to remember to do is you got to remember to move this stuff. Here
all right. But Drew has been saying the reason he puts the thing down on like that is because he does not have my little piece of carpet sample that I use and put my mug down on.
Which we do now. Yeah,
now he has.
But it was covered with books.
But he's still setting it on
covered with books.
All right.
And
true.
So we got to maybe put the books in.
All right.
So that's the main thing.
All right. Yeah, I'm just saying. Think. Got to look into that. That's all I'm saying. All right. Are we done with that guy?
Yeah.
All right. Ben?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm 16, as you said, and I'm gay. And me and my friends have had arguments over whether or not it's a choice. And I want to know if there's any, like, proof of whether it is or isn't.
Over the choice?
Yes.
Yeah, there's no way there's a choice involved.
No, there's a choice, but it's not your choice. It's one guy.
Yeah. There's no way.
He lives in Louisiana, and he decides who's gay and who isn't. Yeah. I've seen the book.
It's equivalent to...
I had to go get my name out of it once.
...to choosing what you consider to be attractive. Those are just things that are in you. They're part of you. And the question, the only thing that's debated is whether there are environmental factors that produce this, and how important are they relative to genetic factors? That's all that's open for debate. No one considers it any kind of some sort of cognitive choice. Like, should I eat grapes?
Well, once in a while, some real right winger will label it that. You have to be ultra right wing, and you have to be a little bit thick. Be sort of Bible literalist type.
They still say it's a choice, right?
Those folks,
like Falwell and all those other guys, they say,
but
they're idiots. Winners. Look at the people who are saying that it's a choice.
People who want who have this impulse want to choose otherwise. In fact, they do choose otherwise and try and attempt to hide this and to suppress it, and it ends up being a disaster for more than just themselves.
Well, it's sort of a to me, it's one of those ridiculous arguments. It's like a when women complain, why do men get to be the ones who are in power? Because we're in power, bitch. What do you mean? How come? You think this is a conspiracy? If you guys were smarter than we were, wouldn't you be in power? How is it that you're so much smarter, but we're in power? You can't argue with it. We're in power. We're in power. You're gay. You're gay. You're blowing a guy. You're blowing a guy. You know what I mean? It's like, well, did he decide to do it, or did God make him do it, or is there some evil genetic force? Well, who cares? He's got a penis in his mouth. Do we really have to dissect it? I mean, do you really think you could not want to do that or biologically not be prone to do it and then somehow just force yourself to do it against your own will somehow? I mean, what are we saying ultimately when you break it down? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You would choose it like the color of shirt you would choose, you know, that this is some sort of, like, casual choice. No.
No, it's just, it is.
Interestingly, for women, it is somewhat of a choice.
That may be true. Ben?
Yeah.
You're not a woman, are you?
No.
All right, you're fine then.
Okay.
All right, so you're gay, and that's fine.
Go ahead.
It's just that my friends, they, like, tell me that it's a choice, and I tell them, no, it isn't, because I never had that choice. And I don't like them saying that it is when they don't know.
I know, but
tell them you'd choose to do otherwise if you could.
Well, so what? Right. So what if it was a choice?
Yeah, I get girls, but I get sick when I get with girls.
Yeah, me?
Yeah,
me too.
I said,
well, it's them that get sick.
Oh, no, that's right. Did I say me?
Yeah.
I meant that. Ben?
Yeah.
Don't even get into the argument with them. It's really a moot point, as they say.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. I mean, look, I know I'm not making the most sense in the world, but do you know what I mean about the choice part?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm getting too philosophical here, but they think of it as making a choice like we would make a choice. Like,
exactly. It's like the same thing applies to alcoholism and addiction. People want to say that's a choice, too. Yeah, it was a choice when they decided to take the first.
Yeah, but it's not being gay is not a disease, though. I mean,
no, I understand, but again, these are things I'm bringing it up only in the context of people alleging that things that people can't control or choose that way or under their willful influence, and it's just unenlightened. It's
but like, what's in it for you just to decide to start having sex with guys?
Right.
It suggests that, well, you're kind of into chicks like we are, but we're going to decide to make a hellish life for ourselves. You know, riddled with a hepatitis AIDS and being ostracized by our family and peers and society, and just start hanging with dudes.
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
Totally understand that. Good times.
Larry, you're 20. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Adam? What are you doing, man?
I'm just yelling at Drew.
Oh, really? Okay, that's cool, man. But hey, yo, man, how long does this for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
How long does, like, marijuana stay in your blood system?
In your blood system? Can stay in there for many weeks, many months even.
Really?
I thought it was in the fat.
It can be slowly released into the blood. But if you're asking how long is it detectable in the urine, which I think what you're interested in.
No, well, they can do the blood thing on me or something.
Well, it's even less likely to be detected in the blood.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's a long time in the hair test, right?
Yeah, but the hair test is very difficult to interpret.
In the blood, do you think it will show up or anything?
Well, how long did you smoke?
Maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I've been taking, like, niacin and drinking a lot of water and doing all this, you know.
Don't lose weight and don't exercise, because if you're a heavy guy?
No, I'm like 5'3", like 100 pounds.
All right, because the stuff can get mobilized from your fat tissue, and that's where it's stored right now. So.
Could crush you.
Or are you applying for a jockey position?
He's
or?
Been looking for a guy whose ass he can get for years.
Come on down to the studio.
Yeah, buddy. You want a piece of the big man?
So you think it'll be all cool in, like, after, like, 30 days?
Oh, yeah, I think it'll be fine.
It'll be all cool, right?
What kind of job are you looking for?
Actually, I'm not looking for any job. It's just, like, a government test or something like that.
Oh, a little parole work?
Oh.
Yeah, all right, buddy. Just playing it stupid.
Dude, if you're on parole, don't smoke pot until you're off. My God.
And tell other people it's for a job. I like people, they do that bad lying math. Is it for a job? No, it's not for a job. Now, they don't realize. See, when you're dumb, you don't realize there's a follow-up to that.
Yeah.
You're taking a drug test, it's not for a job. There's a follow-up. What is it for? Oh, it's just some government thing.
The Census Bureau. They come to the door. Yeah.
You never know when some guy's going to come by and want some urine.
Blood.
And some blood. All right, what do you want to do? You want to talk to one more guy?
Yeah, real quick.
Andrew?
21?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm just calling. I was adopted when I was born, and I was just wondering. I kind of put off searching for my birth parents for till now. I've always known that I was adopted.
What is this going to do for you? What do you intend to accomplish?
I just wanted to know who it was, you know, who my biological parents are.
Mm-hmm.
I know kind of the city they're from, and
it's not really something that I didn't want it to be that I'm searching for something that's missing. I'm all right with my folks. I'm fine in school, and I have a good future. I just wanted to know who it was. It's not like something that I'm trying to do to make up for something else.
So can't you just find out who it is and sort of read about him or find out some details about him without going to meet him?
It's an interesting
one. Well, yeah, the same thing.
Well, are they... They're probably not together, right?
Oh, well, yeah, no. Probably not. I'm just saying that...
What's the question?
Out who they were without me. Do you think it's a good idea?
Well, I don't think it's a here's the thing. You have about a 95% chance of being disappointed.
Yeah.
But then again, he's not looking for anything. He's just...
I know, but...
Yeah, but when you go looking for your birth parents, there's going to be some expectations there, and you have to brace yourself for the fact that, number one, they could be crackheads, and number two, they may not be happy to see you, and that sort of hurts, but it's true.
Or they could be like my parents.
Oh, my God.
Which is even worse than crackheads, which is no color at all. Even a crackhead's got a little personality.
They're clear.
Yeah, you could have my parents, where you just knock on the door and be like, yeah? Oh, yeah, yeah.
How are you? Yeah.
What do you do? What do you do, Dad? Tell me about yourself. Well, I have no hobbies. I don't follow any football teams. I don't do anything. I like to walk at a very slow pace, take a nap, and listen to a little classical music
and
read
so,
books.
So are we done, son?
That's my life.
Yeah. Be gone with you.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely do a little leg work, but be prepared for almost nothing.
Yeah, I think that for different types of abortions, they won't let you, adoptioned, they won't let you look back. I mean, in some cases, they will be blocked.
Well, if that, I'll tell you what, Andrew.
If it's blocked, I don't want to know about it.
Okay, if it's blocked, then you just look at that as
a sign
and move on. But here's what I really think you're going to find. You're going to find what goes on in most parts of the country with most people in the country, sort of uneventful, semi-crappy life where there's, I got pregnant, I was a little too young, and then anyway, but now I co-manage this Hallmark store in the crap mall up on S Street over there, and
well, maybe you'll find out that his parents were like really rich now, and he's some huge fortune.
DJ, that's it. Now he's going on a search.
Never going to happen. Always going to be bad.
Yeah, it just pretty much has to be.
You know what it is? You know why? It's like when you hook up with guys you went to high school with, and you start talking to them. And Drew, not your school, not the little Lord Fauntleroy School for albino hemophiliacs. But like my school, North Hollywood High.
I mean, a man's school.
And you run into the guy, and he's put on 30 pounds, and he's balding, and he's talking to you about he's in the middle of a divorce. And then he starts talking to you about a divorce, and you say, I thought you were divorced. Oh, that was my first divorce. And he's got two kids and two stepkids. And his business was good at some point, but it's not doing too good now. He's got some plan about doing something, but it's not going to come together. And you just kind of look at him, and you think, maybe you should just kill yourself. Do we not have to see you at the next reunion? You know what I mean? It's disappointing. You'd be better if they were just on death row.
I don't know, Adam. Sometimes those guys can pull out of those tailspins.
No.
I know one that had made $0 in 1988, 1991, and 1994. Zero.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. DJ Qualls is our guest tonight. The New Guys, the movie, opening up May 10th this Friday. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Nice.
DJ Qualls is our guest tonight. The movie is called The New Guy. That is out on May 10th, coming up this Friday. DJ is from Nashville, or 80 miles outside of Nashville.
Yeah.
And mentioned that his town produces caskets and pajamas.
We had a big conversation about caskets last time he was in here.
That sounds familiar.
Work in a casket shop or something?
No, I actually made pajamas.
Okay.
Yeah.
He went the pajama route.
Right.
I did have a casket question for you, Andrew, and maybe between the two of you, if someone can answer it. I just got in a little debate or argument with some guys at the Man Show the other day, which is, the thing about caskets is, well, we all decided the open casket thing was a very bizarre ritual.
Yeah.
That, I don't know, that never looked better, or it still looks like he's alive. Or let's put some rouge on the 85-year-old guy who crapped himself when he died. Very strange ritual.
It is really, it is the human primate going up and sniffing and touching the dead body. It really is what it is. It needs to make it real.
Yeah, that whole sort of thinking, which is one last look before we put him in the ground, but what about one last look when he's alive?
You don't know when that's coming, so
humans,
it's a way to get closure.
It's not closure. Humans need to really see and feel and touch.
Well, Drew says they don't believe the person's dead.
Exactly. In a primitive way.
Not,
that's what closure is, really.
I know, but listen, Quincy comes up to me and says, Grandpa kicked off.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah.
I understand that very, very well. Now, my cheap-ass family was Neptune Society. Some guy comes in it's really like a country squire station wagon from 1978, throws Grandpa in the back, and you never see him again. I swear to Christ. You take their word that they cremated him and dumped him out in the ocean, but you never know. We never even had anything. Do you understand that?
Well, that is a Corolla trait.
Do you understand the Corollas? You want to know the core of the Corollas? Grandpa got picked up. And Grandpa got taken out, and we never saw him again, and we never had a funeral. We didn't even have a brunch. We had a little gathering 2 years. Two years later.
Mm.
2 years later, we had a little gathering, but nothing. Nothing for 2 years.
Maybe because they couldn't see the body, they didn't really believe he was dead.
Yeah, I believed it. No, and we liked him. That was one of the guys we liked in our family.
I'll wait till you go.
Yeah. They're just going to put, like, an M80 under me and just leave me out. Whatever thing the M80 doesn't get, maybe a cat will get or something like that, put me out in the yard. But now, do they have... So the open casket's a weird thing, but here was the question. Do they have a latch that keeps the casket lid shut? You assume they do.
From the inside, you mean?
No, not from the inside.
I mean, something that can't be opened back up?
You know, no, not from the inside.
Like a lock.
Hey, what do you mean? A latch on the inside that you can't open?
Hold on. Where's the inside part coming from, Drew?
That you can't unlock it on the outside.
How would the latch on the inside work? You mean the deceased would lock it?
No.
What are you talking about then? All right. Drew, we're having a tough night. A latch on the inside. What do you mean?
I bet there is. They come in all types. Like every option you want. It's like buying a car.
Right.
Like, if you want the certain kind of lining, if you want the certain kind of, like,
fixtures. Well, that part I understand, but I never see the hasp or the latch or the whatever on a casket that's going to keep the lid closed.
Right, you never see the mortician, like, with his keys, like...
Because they're on the inside, because you obviously don't see them. Nobody sees those things. So you're asking about something that latches down once the thing is closed.
You mean on the edge?
Somewhere in that can't be seen or reach from the outside.
It's like a hidden clasp thing.
Now, how would you undo it then?
That's an interesting question. You wouldn't once you close. That's what I would ask. Is once you close it, is that it?
No, that can't happen.
No, because if it fell down in the middle of the funeral, that would suck because people wouldn't.
Here's all I'm saying. Somehow you got to shut that thing because some pallbearer is going to trip on his rented tuck shoes or something, and someone's going to come rolling out of a casket. Do you know what I'm saying?
It reopens.
I mean, I think they seal them before. There's something in it that you can seal it before you put it in.
Oh, maybe they just put, like, a strap over it or something. You never see the lock or anything. I don't know. Maybe that's bad luck. If anyone designs caskets, I'd like to hear from that.
Maybe it's like a cabbie pushed down.
Like a cup holder in your car or something?
Right, exactly.
Brian?
Hey, what's up?
Do they have casket cup holders?
Not where I'm from, but
okay.
It doesn't matter because all the cups are too big for them anyway. So.
Oh, for the casket cup holders?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I wanted to ask a question because I was reading the TV guide the other day, and there were cheers to the Osbournes for, you know, you can tell that there's really love in that family. And they do it with The Simpsons, and they do it with Married with Children. You know, they did it. I don't know if they did or not, but it seems like they keep on going, you know. It doesn't matter that their parenting style is so, you know, crazy and eclectic. It's like, but, you know, you can tell that they love their kids. But in the meantime, I'm thinking, like, I don't know, whenever I see an episode of The Osbournes, and I certainly don't want to badmouth Ozzy, but it seems like his kids are kind of mean, you know? Like, yeah. I mean, there was an episode where Jack was, like, throwing rocks at kids and stuff, and I was like, that's not acceptable at all. And then Ozzy was, he wasn't really able to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. I mean, if his kids were cussing in preschool around my kids, I wouldn't appreciate that at all.
Hmm. All right. It's a kind of interesting question is why are we so drawn to The Simpsons and Married with Children and The Osbournes? What do we get out of that? And I don't think anyone thinks that it's a good parenting or that they would deny that Ozzy's kids are affected by Ozzy and Sharon's parenting stuff, issues. But we're drawn to it. That's really the question. Why do we go to it? Isn't that the question really?
Well, it's sort of compelling. I mean, it's hard to look away.
But why do we go to The Simpsons? I mean, no one thinks Bart's a great guy. But we're drawn to it.
I think in this day and age, parents that are together and raising their kids, even if it's unconventionally, get a higher score than most. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we have always been big fans as a society of people who sort of achieve results in unconventional ways. Right. Like here's what I mean. Like in school, we're much more drawn to the guy who parties, has a good time, and still pulls off an A, rather than the guy who stays up all weekend studying and gets an A. That guy's, we don't gravitate toward that guy.
I see young people doing bad things and getting away with it. Like, if you look at almost every movie, young people doing bad things, getting away with it, or things that they couldn't get away with. But also, I mean, I have to question, like, I mean, it's a 15 and a 17-year-old on television. Obviously, they're going to, I mean, there are cameras around it, and they're aware that there are cameras around, so you have to think. I mean, I think a lot of that, like Jack throwing rocks at people and coming out dressed like the military guy, he knows he's on TV.
Well, I would definitely say there's got to be an element of that. And it's funny because it's an interesting point DJ brings up, because in all these shows, there's so many sort of hidden camera shows or, you know, real world type shows where it's not a hidden camera, but you're supposed to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of think as viewers, it's either game on or game off, that either they're aware the camera's there and they're doing a sitcom, or the camera's there, but they're just carrying on.
Right.
But let's face it. Yeah, it's a good point. You are aware the camera's there. Someone tells you, don't look at it. Don't talk to it. But yeah, Drew, if we were having an argument, let's say, and I knew there was a guy with a camera standing right next to us, it might be a more spirited argument than it would normally be if there wasn't a guy with a camera there.
Right.
And so, therefore, there's probably some acting going on, and I think DJ Qualls is right.
But it's interesting we're drawn to this stuff, and I think we enjoy seeing people struggle.
Well, it's a good...
You know, we enjoy human beings who seem to be good and seem to care struggling.
Well, look,
it makes us feel good about our own struggle.
There's nothing better than a guy who has tons of platinum records, tons of money, and legions of fans, and who's supposed to be sort of the Prince of Darkness, getting his ass kicked around by a lap dog at home. You know what I mean? We love that as human beings.
That's comedy.
Yeah, right? that's comedy. Comedy. It's the 6'8", 350-pound all-star football player whose mom grabs him by the ear and drags him back into the house kind of thing.
Yeah.
We've always loved that, and that's kind of what this is, wouldn't you say?
Yep.
All right. So, Sean?
Hey.
You 15?
Yeah.
Smoke a little pot?
Oh, quite a bit.
No.
Oh, Sean, please.
No, seriously, dude.
Well, what have you been doing?
Ironically works the dude in to the not smoking the pot.
Seriously, dude.
Seriously, brother.
What have you been doing? You've been doing something.
Drinking. I used to a lot since I was, like, 8 years old.
Drinking since you were eight?
Yeah, I went, like religious functions where they'd have, like, the little things that you'd go around and pass around. And, I don't know, I just started drinking a lot of it and decided I liked getting drunk and just kept doing it.
Mm. No one noticed?
What?
No one noticed you were doing this?
Not really. I just go sit off in a corner and down them and then just go back and...
But wouldn't anyone, your parents, notice that you were intoxicated?
No, they weren't really there that much. Like, I wouldn't really see them much at all for the rest of that night, usually.
And you kept on drinking?
At age eight,
you could
keep that from your parents, that you were intoxicated.
Yeah, they, I don't know.
It speaks volumes about their parenting, I'm afraid.
Yes?
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah.
So now what?
But, so this year I ended up stopping, like, 4 months ago or so. I ended up quitting.
Cool.
And I've just been getting extremely depressed because of it, I think. And
well, I'll tell you what. Any alcoholic that stops drinking but doesn't do something to replace that gets depressed. I've never met one that didn't. And that's really where recovery steps in. It's about dealing with mood and anxiety. And if you don't have another mechanism to deal with it, it's gonna run out of control.
So what should he do?
How about going to AA?
Like, is there any way to do that anonymously or any way?
Well, anonymous right there in the name. It is anonymous.
That's the wrong word, but...
It's ironic that he used the word anonymous.
Yeah. Like, you can call them on the phone booth. They'll come pick you up, take you to a meeting. No one need know about it.
All right there, buddy.
And then if not, really, you're 15. It might be worthwhile seeing a psychiatrist.
I mean, but can you advocate like a 15-year-old going to AA without his parents knowing? I mean, going out of the house, you know what I mean? Going places that his parents don't know where he's going.
That would be an appropriate thing, but his parents sat by when he got loaded when he was 8. I mean, how much?
Yeah, and he's afraid sort of damage control here.
This is he needs to get himself involved in some treatment. Then he needs to get his. What will happen is, in recovery, people will give him the sufficient direction and strength to be able to stand up. And say, I need more. I need help. I need to participate. And I don't think if you put the cart before the horse, they'll get anywhere because those are not parents that are likely to be understanding of this.
What do you mean if you put the cart before the horse?
In other words, if you say, hey, Sean, go tell your parents you're an alcoholic and you want to go to AA and you want a therapist,
yeah,
they're going to go, no, not relax,
right.
You're not. Not our son, no.
Right.
And they're going to could suppress the momentum he has to take care of himself.
Right. What would your parents have done, Drew, 15? What do you think they would have done?
Jumped off the bridge.
Really?
Probably, yeah.
They would have been upset by it?
What?
Very upset.
Oh, yeah.
Would they have taken it out on you? Would they have let you go to AA or a therapist?
It's hard to know. Yeah. Hard to know how to react.
Your dad wouldn't know how much, right? Then you tell him, AA is free. Oh, yeah. Let him go 5 days a week. Sure. Then he'd try to figure out a way to start charging people for going, right?
Right.
Okay. We'll take a little break. DJ.
Here's something that's not in the Netflix anymore. At ease.
At ease got replaced by stand down and back off.
Back off.
I think. All right, we'll take a little break, and we'll be right back. Yo ho ho. Love line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew.
Yo ho ho.
Wow. I got to keep it fresh.
At ease.
At ease, soldier. DJ Qualls is our guest tonight. He's got himself a little movie called The New Guy. You've seen the commercials. It is going to be out this Friday, May 10th. And you know DJ from Road Trip. And got a few new movies coming out in the fall. Lone Star State of Mind with Josh Jackson and The Core opposite Hilary Swank. What's The Core?
You know, it's one of those sort of like Armageddon blockbuster type of movies where the world's blowing up and we have to save it.
Really?
Yeah.
You and Hillary?
Yeah, me, Hillary, and Alfre Woodard and a whole bunch of Aaron Eckhart, big cast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is the world blowing up?
Basically, the government did some sort of seismic weapons testing, and they've stopped the Earth's core, or it slowed down, so we're all going to fly off the Earth and...
Oh, you mean the Earth's going to stop rotating?
Well, our gravity's going to be all screwed up and...
I see.
You know.
Bad times.
Right, it's bad.
Well, the man did it again.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right. Bunch of white guys in their 50s who are saying, we need to do this.
White shirts with skinny black ties.
Yeah, the man destroying the Earth again. Listen, I love these kind of movies, by the way. I was down with Independence Day, and I was down with Armageddon.
Very much
down.
Like that. There's a scene where Mexico City gets destroyed by lightning, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And Chicago gets microwaved by this huge cloud of steam that comes up from the core. It's really neat. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not sort of like your cheesy journey to the center of the Earth.
Oh, so the core, is like the core of the Earth.
Yeah.
The core is coming out today.
Nice. You got to save. You got to save it, right?
I actually do save the world. I'm a hooker with a heart of gold.
See, this is what we're talking about. We like human beings who are struggling.
Right.
You seem good.
Right. Yeah. Kylie?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, In my vagina area, I'm numb. I have absolutely no feeling at all.
Hmm. Me too.
Is this a new thing?
No, I've had it for my entire life.
Again, that's what they say to you. That's not what you experience. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying my vagina is numb.
I thought you said you're with someone, they tell you that.
No.
I'm sorry, is it? It's not a new thing?
No, it's been like that my entire life.
Yeah. Probably could be a bad thing.
Well, yeah. If it's truly an anesthetic experience, one of the places I've run into that with patients is when they've been sexually abused.
No, I haven't.
Nothing like that around?
In any way, right?
And have you been okay neurologically? No back injuries or neck injuries?
No.
Anything like that? And by numb, what do you mean? You cannot feel touch?
Nothing at all. No touch, no nothing.
What if I put a cigarette out on it? Would you know it?
I wouldn't be able to feel it.
Have you ever thought about seeing a neurologist to make sure that there's...
Well, I have a PAP on the 21st of this month.
Definitely talk to them about that. You don't do a lot of bicycling or spinning or anything like that?
How old are you?
15.
So, really, if I put a cigarette out on your vagina...
Or stabbed with a needle, yeah, I wouldn't be able to feel it.
And is it extend all the way to your thigh and your buttock area? Or where is it?
Just my vagina.
Just inside?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Is there something about her attitude that you find bothersome, or is it just me?
I would be panicked if I couldn't feel my penis, and if I was 15 years old, and it's numb.
Yeah, but I'd
be panicked if I couldn't feel DJ Quill's penis either.
In fact, you are seeing me in a panic right now.
His eyes are huge.
Hold on. Just sum up with Kylie, though. You know, maybe just an attitudinal standpoint.
There, I'm wondering that the history is maybe more than she's letting on. And then she hasn't said there's no feeling on the outside. Maybe she has clitoral sensation, but not inside feeling. She keeps saying my vagina. Maybe she doesn't know what she's describing.
But is it possible for just a part of your body to go numb? Actually, I have a right where my hip bone is on the right side. I'm numb there.
Show me.
Like right here.
That's a classic. If there's a nerve that comes through the tensor fascia line.
Can I put a cigarette out there?
I wouldn't recommend it. What's comical with novelty about DJ Qualls is usually very, very obese people get that because the pressure on the fascia line.
That is the comedy. I'm a walking inside gag.
Well, he's getting up around 115.
Yeah, after I probably put on like 3 pounds since last time I saw you.
Let's talk back to Kylie. Kylie? How's everything else in your life going?
Good.
And you like men?
Yeah.
Do you have a feeling outside your vagina?
No.
Where does the numbness extend?
Well, I mean, I can feel, like, my legs and everything, you know, like, in that area, and I can feel my butt, but it's just that certain area that I wish had feeling, it doesn't.
Hmm.
So if you put your finger inside of yourself, would you be able to feel that?
I can't even feel like putting a tampon in.
And you sure you've not been sexually abused or manipulated in some way when you're growing up?
I'm pretty sure.
Uh-oh. Well, you like your dad?
Well, he's okay.
What's wrong with him?
Well, he was hit in the head with an axe when he was like a teenager, so the doctor said he'd be mentally like a child his entire life.
Guy couldn't take an axe hit?
Well,
how do you know he didn't manipulate your genitalia when you were a little kid if he was that impaired?
He gets really grossed out hearing about that kind of stuff, so I don't think he'd ever do that.
What do you mean he got hit in the head with an axe when he was a kid?
Well, it only affected a certain part of his brain. It didn't kill him. It didn't go in that deep into his brain.
Right. I know he's alive. That's how he had you, because he was a kid when he got hit with the axe. But
yeah.
What's he do for a living? Is he able to work?
He's actually
lawyer.
He's on his butt all day playing video games.
So he's disabled?
No, he's just lazy.
But how does he earn money?
How does he what?
Earn money.
Whenever he needs it, he goes out and finds a job and then quits it.
Where's your mom?
In her room.
Does she work herself?
She works at Boeing. Designs the planes on my computers.
She works at Boeing?
Oh, so she makes enough to support them both?
Wow. Okay. And does your dad drink?
Uh-uh.
Smoke pot?
No.
Okay. Any older brothers or...
I'm the oldest.
No crazy uncles floating around?
Well...
What about his older...
I don't have any connection with any of my family.
Why?
Why not?
Well, they're all bad, so my parents kind of just kept me away from them.
What do you mean they're bad?
Well, like, drug addicts and molesters and whatnot.
Molesters.
See, again, we're very suspicious something happened to you.
Really?
Yeah. But talk to your doctor or your gynecologist when you have a pap smear done. And maybe there's some evidence of this. I mean, collect some data.
It is possible to completely block out being molested and not being able to remember at all.
Absolutely. But what happens is there's a physiologic imprint left behind, even though there's no memory. I mean, particularly before those procedural memories, like before the age of three, there's no capacity for the brain to put in real memories. But there may be weird kind of dreams and sort of images that they remember, or nothing. But the body has a imprint physiologically, and one of the things we sometimes see is when they lose their sensation below the waist.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if something happens to you as an infant, you're probably not going to remember it.
Oh, no.
But your body may remember it.
And that's
pretty much what, I mean, we're speculating here that something happened when she was a year old.
That's right.
Not 8 years old.
That's right.
That's and you got the drug addict molesters
lurking around
in the family right there. Yeah. And, Dad, who I picture like wearing a wind-up beanie, with actually the axe still hanging out of his head,
like a Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Dude, I know several people who have axe injuries to their heads.
That's good. We'll talk about that. I want to hear more.
But they are retarded.
DJ Qualls is here, and he'll tell us about the axe injuries after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE. 191. DJ Qualls is our guest tonight. You probably remember him from Road Trip. I'm guessing you do. I'm guessing a lot of our audience saw that movie. The New Guy is the new movie. It is out this Friday, May 10th. And looks good. I mean, I've not read any reviews, but the commercials are funny.
It's funny.
And what?
That was 2 years ago when you were last here?
Yeah, can you believe it?
No. That is wild.
That is an outrage.
How dare you?
Yeah. I was so nervous the first time I did this show. I was gagging all the way here.
No.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that's more of an outrage. I can't believe that.
Hey, really? He got here really early, and he's just sitting on the couch out there with, like, staring at his feet.
Yeah.
Tonight or last time?
No, last time. I remember thinking, is this guy all right?
Yeah.
Now he's pissed that he has to do the show.
Yeah, and you thought he was going to be black, Adam. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, look, you put DJ in front of Wittenberg. I think it's going to be a black guy.
No, but you remember, like, it was my name was DJ, and also I'd been in the sequel to Roots, and I had a black comedy coming out, and you're like, this guy's black. Yeah, and so I told that story like a million times, and I was like, well, that Adam Carolla is such a racist.
Yeah, well, listen, a guy's named DJ Qualls, and he was in the sequel to Roots.
Yeah, it was the white guy.
I mean, you're doing the math. You're playing the odds, are you not? Okay. All right, let's talk to Joe, who's 23. Joe?
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
That's okay. Right. That's the part where I said good.
And part where you talk.
That's okay, right. Here's the deal. I met this girl probably about 2.5 years ago because I was dating one of her friends from her high school. And she
What was her friend's name?
Pardon?
Drew, come on. Don't talk.
Yeah, what was her friend's name?
Go ahead, buddy.
Okay, I was dating this girl for a long time. She had a friend that we had hung out with her friend and her boyfriend a couple times, and that's all I pretty much knew of her. Anyway, she ended up breaking up with her boyfriend. I ended up breaking up with my girlfriend, and it turned out that her and I saw one day, because we have a mutual friend that lives here in the same complex.
You should have asked that question.
A lot of fun.
And,
the question has nothing to do with any of this.
Okay.
All right.
You had a girlfriend. We got that. We got
for
a girlfriend.
A month.
Okay.
She's rad.
All right, good.
Like,
got
I shouldn't even be upset about this, but anyway, she invited me with a friend of hers and the company that she works for to go to Palm Springs for the weekend. Anyway, I thought, okay, great. We're staying in some huge, nice resort. You know, it's gonna be off the hook, and everything. You know, everything's paid for and all that stuff. And I was like, all right, you know, great.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up going and fully embarrassed her. Embarrassed, like, her friends and everybody around me, just made a total idiot of myself, I guess, because, I mean, I went there and was drinking from, you know, the minute I woke up till the minute I passed out, which was a bad deal, but I don't know why I'm upset about this, because I only dated her for about a month, and...
Well, it's no fun to be humiliated, right?
But I am. No, it's no fun to be humiliated, and it's not of my character to act like that and do something like that.
Really?
Come on, Drew.
All right.
I don't mean that in really even a negative way. You seem a little sort of manic-y to me, like hypomanic.
No, I'm just nervous because I'm on this radio.
Okay.
And I called here once before, like 2 weeks ago, to ask a different question, and I didn't get on the air. So I called a couple of my friends, asked a buddy to record it, and it's an interesting moment for me.
Okay, well, I'm having a surreal moment.
And I called this girl, Adam. I called the girl, and I told her, I said, hey, I'm going to be on the radio, listen to Loveline. It's going to be funny, you know. And I know she's highly pissed. She probably thinks I'm an idiot, and I was the nicest guy for the month before this.
All right. So what's the question?
What should I do? Just leave it alone, or?
Well, you went out. You had a few boozes. You made an ass of yourself at the company, whatever. And now she won't talk to you anymore?
Well, she talks, but it's not like it was, and I wish it were like it was. It was rad the whole time.
But here's the thing. I have this theory, which is if somebody will not forgive you, they do this in movies all the time, but it's not reality. If somebody doesn't forgive you for one screw-up, they weren't that into you.
Okay.
And you get caught up in the screw-up. But you should really focus on the part where they weren't that into you.
Right, they were looking for a reason to get out.
Because if they're really into you, they'll forgive you for multiple screw-ups.
Oh, my God, think of the people.
I'm sorry to interrupt. What if you were told by this person, even in the first couple weeks of the whole relationship, I guess you could call it, what if they were telling you every day how into you they were and how nice to them you were, and you had never got that from any other girl before, and you were glad that you were appreciated?
I'd be suspicious.
Hold on, is he talking about me?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, no. Joe, here's the thing, and I know it's frustrating, and this is stuff that guys get caught up in when they're younger.
Yeah.
Why? Mm-hmm. She said she was into me. Why? Yeah. We did this. We held hands. Oh, yeah. We made out.
Forget the
why did she ask me to go away? Well, why does anything go that way? Why does somebody hire you and then fire you 6 months later?
Right. Why you do not have that job? Why you do not have that girl? Doesn't matter.
Why?
Yeah.
Yes, the point is the bottom line is the bottom line. You're out of the job or you're out of the relationship or you're out of the whatever.
Yeah.
That's the part you got to listen to.
You sort of can make an overture to her, but if she's out, she's out.
Well, look, you can say to somebody, hey, I'm really sorry for what happened. I messed up once. I'm not going to let it happen again, but give me another chance. But if they don't take you back at that point, they weren't that interested in you.
And honestly, I think Joe really needs to look at his mental health. That all that tangential quality to his history is sort of a manic quality. And then he drinks. You know, he's out on a nice vacation with a group of people he doesn't really know. And he gets loaded to the point that we don't even know what he did yet. And he only knows what he did.
I'm guessing he whipped it out.
At least. That's what I think in peeing places.
Let's see. Joe?
Hello?
Yeah, give us the worst thing that you did while you were loaded in Palm Springs.
The worst thing that I might have done was...
Mike.
That she said you did.
That she said I did? She never even... She talked to me and acted, you know, and said, hey, don't worry about it, but...
What's the worst thing you did?
That I can remember.
No. You were told... What is the worst thing you did, period?
The worst thing that I've done at the weekend was probably getting as drunk as I did. That was the worst
thing. What did you do while you were drunk?
Acted like an idiot.
What did you do while you were drunk?
Picked a couple fights.
Okay. Yeah. So you went and found the head of sales and shoved him or something. All right, Joe. That's very antisocial behavior.
What do I do from now on to not destroy my character worse?
Okay, don't get loaded.
And if you have a family history of alcoholism, which I suspect you do, you might really look into that. That's something you need treatment.
Yeah. If she didn't want you back, move on, man.
Mm.
That's it. Absolutely. Let's talk to Renee. Renee?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
I always count my words and words that other people are saying that I have a conversation with.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. How many did you just use there?
Well, it comes and goes.
Never any good payoff, but... You didn't count that salvo?
You know, if you'd have just thrown out 15, he would not have known the difference.
No, I would have went back and studied the tape tonight when I got home.
Well, it comes and it goes.
Okay.
I mean, like, tonight is not bad, but I'm also, like, I'm counting how many times I blink and stuff like that. And I have to blink in even amounts of numbers. And
how uncomfortable. Do you pull your hair?
No.
Do you wash your hands a billion times?
I'll wash them, I have to wash them once and then over again.
I have to?
Yeah. Meanwhile, I scratch my balls and floss
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I have none of that. I wish I had a little of that.
Okay, so are there any other weird thoughts, or do you believe you're going to die if you don't do these things, that kind of thing?
No, it just really, really bothers me.
Are there intrusive thoughts other than the ritualistic behaviors?
No.
And you don't have any feeling of any consequence if you blink an odd number of times, for instance?
No. I know I have to blink one more time to make an even amount.
Oh, well, you know, I had a friend on crystal meth who would do that.
Yeah, fair enough, but this is true.
I don't use any drugs.
Yeah, this is true OCD. It's a true obsessive compulsive disorder, which is a disorder of a region of the brain that drives these behaviors.
Well, Renee, let me ask you a quick question. I don't want to screw up your tallying, but when you do the counting with the blinking, how do you know when it stops and starts? Since blinking is just sort of an ongoing process, you know?
Her head just exploded.
Uh-oh. All of a sudden, I'll just think that I have to start, I'll just all of a sudden start doing it.
It's not a rational cognitive process. It's from a very primitive drive center in the brain that just activates behavior. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she knows these are not rational. Obviously, she controls them if she could, but she can't. Mm-hmm. And that's in the nature of this condition.
I just blinked 10 times.
Yeah, I'm now counting my blinks.
It's like yawning. I'm going to count those two now. So, Renee, how long you had this for?
About 7 years.
But you don't have other things, no hearing voices or seeing things or anything of that sort?
No, nothing like that. I have a history of bipolar disease in my family. I didn't know if it was linked to anything like that.
I don't think this is bipolarity per se, but having mental illness in the family does figure into this. Okay, well, this is something that's highly, highly treatable. There are lots of things people are doing for this, and it's a relatively common condition.
So what? Do you have other medications?
That's sort of the one way of doing it. Do you have any rituals otherwise? Do you have to, eat with utensils a certain way? Or
and just an even amount, things like that. Like my radio has to be set in even numbers and things.
Do you go in and out of your room? Do you have to do certain things? Flick light switches on and off a certain number of times?
Yep, everything. It's with everything.
Yeah.
All right.
That's really good. And do you have that other thing that OCD gets is where you close your garage and you drive away, or maybe you walk or ride your bike away, whatever. You're 19. Drive away, and then you're halfway to work and you think, did I close the garage? Even though you knew you closed the garage, you have to go back and see that the garage is closed.
I do that.
Yeah. A lot of people do that. But that's part of the really disabling for people with OCD because they can't get to work. I keep doing that kind of thing.
All right. So go in, what, psychiatrist?
Yes, psychiatrist, who's used to dealing with this disorder. Because there's a lot of things that can be done with this now.
Okay.
All right. Good times, though, right?
All right.
Yeah.
Good times. Thank you.
Good times. It's always even numbers. People don't usually get caught on the odd.
Odd is bad luck.
But since when is odd bad luck? Like, for instance, with the Japanese, on their table, they'll have a place setting for three.
Well, maybe
because an even number is bad luck for them.
Maybe OCD in that country, it's odd numbers. It's
turned around?
Maybe.
Like they have right-hand drive?
Hang on a second, I got to blink 10 times.
Imagine counting the number of times. I have the same thing on even. It's with beating off. I got to do it even. I got to go for like 8 or 10.
I must be psychic today. I knew you were going right there.
Yeah.
Oh,
shocking.
Yeah. Adam, talking about information.
Adam made a jack-off joke. Stop the presses. Well, you got to know that if we're getting an hour and 14 minutes, even number, into the show, and I've made a beat-off joke, that the next thing out of my mouth has got to be a beat-off joke. Yeah, wouldn't have been a bad bet at minute 7 into the show either. Wait a minute, odd number. Minute 8, even number. Let's talk to Joe, who's 21. Joe?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
What's going on?
What's happening?
Oh, not a whole lot, man.
Yeah, all right, buddy.
What is just dude.
Dude, what it is? What'd it be like?
Basically, what it is I have a urinating problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have pee shy?
Yeah, it's just, public places, I just can't do it, you know? I mean, I can, I do, I mean, but it just, I'm sitting there, you know, and my thing's just hanging, you know?
I've had some people that just can't. They cannot. They lock down.
Yeah.
If you're a male, that is an incredibly difficult issue because men in public are required to pee in troughs.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've been to the Rose Bowl or Dodger Stadium got urinals now, I think.
I don't know. But yeah, they're you have to whiz with other guys.
So that is basically, I mean, that's a common thing. It's not like, I mean, I felt like I was just like.
No, it's a fairly common thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm incredibly pee shy. and a lot of times I'll go to a urinal and I'll try to pee, and somebody will come right next to me, and I'll feel like the guy thinks I'm checking him out because I stay there the whole time.
And he can't get started?
Yeah, I can't
get
started.
We're discovering some interesting things about DJ, though. And he drives back home to check the garage door.
And my hip is numb.
Do you have to do you count cracks in the sidewalk and that kind of thing?
No, I don't.
Well, what about if you start peeing and a guy slides up next to you? Will you keep going?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's cool. I mean,
yeah, me too.
Sometimes I'm able to just, you know, do it with no problem. But I just, you know, when I'm alone, it's just so much easier. I'm just... Damn, you know, that's good.
All right. He's able to do it. Yeah, he's able to do it.
He just wants to know that he's okay.
It's not a big deal. But I never knew what a prom this was until on the man show, I peed on a guy's wallet on stage.
On command.
Just turned my back to the audience, threw his wallet in a urinal, began whizzing immediately, and for quite a lengthy time, too, I must say. And got more positive feedback, and boy, really, you really want to go home and shoot yourself at the most positive feedback I've ever gotten from anything I've ever done on stage was weighing on this guy's wallet. People coming up and going, wow, I couldn't do that. That's amazing. And it wasn't any big deal to me, but it dawned on me that most guys, I would say over 50% of guys, if you put an audience out there especially and told them just turn their back to the audience and begin whizzing, I don't think they could do it.
Yeah.
For me, not difficult. It's a gift. True, you have that gift, right?
That would be no problem.
We whiz in front of each other every night.
Yeah, yeah.
Eric?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 24?
Yeah, I had a question about, I've been seeing this girl for 3 years. We've been together and committed to each other. And I just found out that she had a fling with a guy. And we had a threesome a week after that, but I just found out. So
wait a minute, hold on, I'm sorry. This guy that she's cheating with,
uh-huh,
is the same guy that you had a threesome with?
No. We had a threesome with her best friend. It was a female.
A week after she had cheated.
Right. And Drew always says once it gets to that point, it's pretty much done.
It's toast. Yeah, this thing's toast.
It's toast?
It's toast, yeah.
At least you got your threesome before you had to get out.
You got your threesome. Now it's time to win.
But she's really sincere about it. And
about what? She just cheated, with a good friend of yours?
No. I don't know the guy.
Drew, you're all over the place.
I heard her say something about a friend.
Yeah, it was her best friend that she had the threesome with.
Right.
And she was unfaithful to me with another guy.
Why did she tell you that she cheated on you?
She didn't. I found out.
How?
I found her phone number. I called and I talked to the guy and he was straight up with me.
No.
How can you be surprised about if you're bringing other people in your relationship, if she wants to have sex with other people than you? Like, I don't understand that.
It was her best friend, and she said, "Oh, it was just, you know, we were at a party."
Where was this phone number that you found?
Yeah, I found it in her wallet.
In her wallet.
Right.
But that was the number of her best friend, right?
No, this guy.
I know the threesome was her friend too, but at a later point,
in the discussion,
I'm like, "Yeah, it was her best friend. She wanted to."
So you found his number in the wallet, and his name was with it.
I kind of suspected. I
found a random number in her wallet, and so you went ahead and called it.
Yeah, I called and said, "Hey, is like my buddy Dave?" And he's like, "No." I said, "Well,
how did you know his name was? How did you know his name was Dave?"
No, I just made up a name.
I see.
And then I go, "Who's this?" And then he said his name, and I knew who he was. I knew it was him, and that's how I found out.
Ooh.
So I started talking to him, and he explained what was going on. So I confronted her about it, and now she's, you know, she's trying to save this, and she's crying. And you know, we had a long talk about it, and now she's saying, you know, it was a one-time thing; it won't happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this happens all the time on the Ricky Lake show, and let me tell you, it's never a good thing.
Yeah, this and the fact that she went with the threesome too. This is a chaotic chick, Eric. Yeah. I mean, you must know she's a chaos queen, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been with her for 3 years, and you know, this is the first time that this has happened. But I don't want to be a hypocrite because early in our relationship, I kind of screwed around a little bit too. Yeah. You know, she doesn't know that.
Well, there's a lot of chaos between the two of you.
Which is not uncommon.
Okay, look, here's the plan. Don't have any kids.
Okay.
That's the plan. I mean, look, here's what I'm saying to everybody who's in this situation. You like her. You want to stay with her. You busted her for cheating. But you screwed up yourself. We're only human. You had a threesome. You know, she's a little... what do you think she does for a living? Stripper?
No.
No?
Receptionist. Or like a hostess.
Yeah. Eric?
Yeah.
What's she do for a living?
Yeah, she works like a receptionist type job.
All right, Drew.
But she's also she's a cheerleader for a...
Arena football league or something?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's...
We're supposed to get points for that.
She's probably getting...
I don't buy this call at all. It's just yes to whatever we say.
No, listen, what do you think she could... She's a cheerleader for what? Eric?
Yeah.
What kind of cheerleader?
Arena football.
What's the name of the team?
They're in San Diego, the Riptide.
Yeah, okay. Listen, she's a cheerleader. She sure as hell ain't in college, and she ain't cheering for the Bolts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to be, Ann would know. Ann knows every cheerleader who's
the Chargers.
On the Chargers, yeah.
Personally, intimately.
Ann's a maniac, by the way.
The Chargers?
Yeah. Producer Ann loves the San Diego Chargers, which is really a heartbreaking team to like, you know. And
winning season last 20 years.
Last week we were talking about Lyle Alzado.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I don't know how it came up, but Lyle Alzado was this. He started with Denver, and he went to the Raiders, and then he did some TV shows. He was a personality, one of these sports guys, and he got brain cancer from doing roids, probably, and died about 8 or 9 years ago, probably. And Ann came in, and she's like, "He's dead." I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, he died about it." Oh, good. I said, "Good. The guy died of brain cancer 8, 9 years ago." Oh, no, this guy was a Raider. It's okay, he was a Raider for the last 4 or 5 years of his playing career, and then he died of brain cancer at age 39 or 40. Yeah, good riddance. As if he's going to make like a comeback. That's hardcore. That's a hardcore Chargers fan there.
Hardcore.
Yeah, you're glad even the retired guys are dead. All right, let's take a little break, huh?
Yeah.
DJ Qualls is our guest tonight. Well, you can see him in The New Guy, which is out this Friday. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. DJ Qualls is our guest tonight. The New Guy, which is going to be out coming up this Friday. Out in theaters and wide release. All right. Drew?
Yeah.
Anything around all here?
Yep.
You tired tonight?
Nope.
No?
None.
No? Thought you were yawning. Jared?
Hello?
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 Hey, what's going on, man?
There, Jared. How are you?
What's up?
Well, here's the deal. Well, I just, me and my girlfriend were getting a little bit busy last weekend and using Trojan condoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, your guys' show says they're the best and everything. Trojan's the number one condom, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's the deal. The thing broke on me, right? Mm-hmm. We were only like, what? Geez, a whole 2.5 minutes into it, right?
Right, you know the condoms break, right?
Well, see, here's the deal. I've never used one before. We were busy losing our virginity to each other, and we didn't have any sort of clue that these things break, right?
Another I don't buy it kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. So, what do you want?
Well, I mean, what kind would you suggest? I mean, because the Trojan
break. They all break, Jared. They all break.
They all break, so...
Of course they all break.
What do you do about this? Do you stop every 5 minutes and switch, or...
Yep, that's what you do.
Loveline is brought to you by Trojan, America's most trusted condom for over 80 years.
Okay. All right, well...
What kind of voiceover is that? Sort of half-stoner, half...
It sounds like the guy's jerking off, like...
Brought to you by Trojan! It's like, I don't know, should I have a B-load or should I beat off again? I guess when you got to get a voice of a condom for a condom manufacturer, it's tricky.
Stoner surfer.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, so here's the deal. Well, let's talk about this for a second. True, they do have breakdowns of which condoms break down the most, don't they?
Yeah.
Once in a while they publish an article.
Consumer Reports put something out every like 3 or 4 years.
You could probably go on the web and check out Consumer Reports and find out which condom is the most durable, right?
But there really is not a huge difference amongst condoms. The fact is you need to use preferably latex if you're trying to prevent STDs. You need to use it properly. You need to roll the tip down, leave sufficient room there. You need to roll it down, make sure it's all the way on. You need to hang on to it when you're pulling out. You need to check frequently to make sure it's intact.
You have to make sure that it's sort of current, hasn't expired, kept in your brother's wallet
your glove
while he was in Korea for 14 years.
Absolutely.
And all that stuff.
It's not something that is, you know, it's not a without any, you know, supervision or necessary sort of attention. It's something that, it's a procedure.
Right.
And you got to go through the procedure. You don't, it fails sometimes.
Okay.
And if it failed and you have ejaculated, or if it comes off after you've ejaculated, you've got to get that morning after pill.
Love Line is brought to you by Trojan, America's most trusted condom for over 80 years.
Ask him about the morning after pill. He's ever heard
Do you have to talk over the entire drop? Yeah?
What drop?
Okay. You see what I got to deal with there?
Is the morning after pill legal now?
Oh, yeah.
Not RU-486. It is, actually, the abortive pills, but the fact is there's pills you can take that prevent the pregnancy from occurring. And people aren't aware of this, and it drives me insane. You have 72 hours to suppress ovulation, and you can take these pills within that 72-hour period, and you do not get pregnant.
See, I think I saw a special Felicity about that a couple of years ago they were all, like, broken up about it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
All right. Now, what did you want?
You want to ask Jared if you ever heard of the morning after pill.
Jared?
Yeah.
You ever hear of the morning after pill?
I've never heard of the morning after pill.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, Drew just said what it does.
Yeah, it's called Preven or Plan B, and you can get it. Actually, in Oregon, you might be able to get it without a prescription now, even. And it suppresses ovulation, so there's never anything, the sperm never gets to the egg.
I wonder if this guy wants us to tell him he's too big for his condom.
He's looking for something, but I don't know what.
But so here's the bottom line with the condoms. One may be marginally better or more durable than the other. If it is, it's less than 1%.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about how it's used, mm-hmm. how old it is, where it was stored.
Absolutely.
And then some of it just breaks down to dumb luck.
My understanding is that the sort of novelty color ones and that kind of thing are significantly less effective.
Okay.
But the brands, the major brands are fine.
Right. It's sort of like most tires are good for 50,000 miles these days. That doesn't mean you can't get a blowout in any of them.
That's right.
Okay. Let's,
good one.
Thank you. Let's talk to Preston, who's 17. Preston?
Hey.
Hey.
I read somewhere that DJ was a cancer survivor.
Yes, I am.
You are? Okay. And I read that you used to screw around, like, whenever you would have a big test or something, you would act like you were sick and have people bring you your book so you could just do the test at home.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Basically, this is how I look at it. I was a kid. I was like 15 when I had cancer, and it sucked. So why not take every advantage you possibly can?
Yeah.
Yeah. Turn lemons into lemonade. What'd you have? Hodgkin's something?
Yeah.
And you're free and clear of that now?
Yeah.
And can you get Hodgkin's anywhere in your body, or does it have to be in a certain place?
It's a lymph node, primarily. The lymph nodes, yeah.
I mean, it gets in the liver and spleen and stuff.
It's really common, actually. I've met a lot of people who, especially since I've been here in L.A., a lot of actors have had it. Like Jason Schwartzman and a couple other people I know have had it. I mean, it's really common. The thing about it is if you catch it early, it's completely treatable. The unfortunate part about it was that I had about 2 months left when they caught mine.
2 months to live?
Yeah, I was really sick.
Really? And how did they diagnose it? Or how did they catch it?
How did they miss it, more importantly?
Yeah, I know. Well, small-town medicine, they thought I had mono.
Ooh.
For 2 months. I sat at home just getting sicker and sicker.
Oh, my God.
They had no idea what was happening to me.
Wow. And so when they did catch it, in literally a couple months, if they would have started treatment a couple months later.
They caught it on a Thursday, and I was in the hospital on Friday.
And
I was there for 3 months.
Wow. And did they have to take you out of the small town to treat it?
Yep.
Into the medium or big town?
Medium town.
Medium.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't hear about the medium town. You hear about the big town. You hear about the small town. What about the medium town?
Nashville, medium town?
Yeah.
Yeah. You go to Vanderbilt?
Yeah. All the glitz and glamour of a...
Did you go to Vanderbilt?
Yeah. It's a really great hospital.
Yeah, it is. That's what we want to get treated for that.
It's the same thing with the jewel thieves. You hear about the international jewel thieves.
Right.
But rarely about the regional guys. Guys just work in the Glendale, Burbank
area. They deserve their props.
Yeah, they deserve. Yeah, I mean, how do you think the international guys make it to the international level?
They start at the county.
Right.
They start on the county regional level, of course.
Right, and maybe if I get cancer again, maybe I'll work my way up to the Mayo Clinic.
Right, yeah. Also, you hear about the master of disguises, but never the guys just sort of He's all right.
Novice of disguise.
Well, he's good at some of them. Not all.
He's not the master.
He's not the master. He's working his way up. He's just getting started. Okay.
Hey, DJ, didn't you used to be heavy, too, before you got cancer?
Yeah.
And well, that's by the way, your fingers are probably numb still, too.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
remember we talked about it last time.
Yeah, it's the same thing, your nerve here.
My fingers are numb and they're always cold.
That's from cisplatin. Yeah. I mean, from...
I had Adriamycin and Vel...
Vincristine.
Yeah, Vincristine. Yeah.
Wow.
He knows everything.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
Vincristine, that was the dude who was in the Fast and the Furious, right?
Vin Diesel.
Hey, Preston, any other questions for DJ?
Well, no, but I did have one for Drew.
Yeah?
He was black before he got the cancer, too, I figured out.
Drew was?
No. What's up, Preston?
Well, I've been taking Lortab for a while.
Lortab?
Yeah.
And, 17, for God's sake. What are you taking it for?
Well, like, I got it prescribed as a painkiller.
Yeah, no kidding, but it's opiates, heroin, basically.
Yeah.
How many a day are you taking?
Like three.
Hold on, what are you taking it for?
Just for the heck of it.
How'd you get it prescribed?
Well, I had it prescribed because I had a bad toothache.
Dennis.
Yeah, I had it prescribed when I had my wisdom teeth taken out.
Yeah, my sister had it prescribed, and so she had some left.
All right, well, Preston, you got a big problem here.
Okay.
You're not going to feel. You're going to have withdrawal when you stop. Even at three a day, you're going to miss it. It's going to feel empty, and you're going to feel this awful sort of, we call it dysphoria, really kind of depressed feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to look into this. It's going to require a little treatment now.
Yeah. I'm getting a tooth pulled soon, so maybe I get some of that, right?
Yeah, you probably will.
Like, because.
Well, I know if they don't give it to you, call me for it anyway.
Then Vicodin didn't do crap.
Lortab, Vicodin, same thing.
Oh,
I think
really?
50 of those or something.
I need a painkiller I can booze with, too. I don't want the stuff at the Tylenol, right?
Right.
What's a painkiller I can booze a little with?
Morphine.
Oh, morphine?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oxycontin.
I've got some in the car.
Write that down. You got some of that?
Yeah.
I'm going to need some of that. And I need a rhino-sized dose of that stuff, too, because I just don't get off on it otherwise.
Mm-hmm. How old is this kid? And he has
17.
A Lortab addiction?
Yeah, it's getting going. Three a day.
Heather?
He'll get up to 20 or 30 a day pretty quick.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I needed to ask Drew a question.
Yeah?
I've been going out with this guy for a couple of months, and I'm a virgin, and I was thinking of having sex with him, and I didn't know what was going to happen, like, during or after.
In what way?
Like... Am I gonna bleed? Is it gonna hurt? Like,
it's not gonna feel. Most women are.
Anybody else? Like,
yeah. You could have some bleeding. You might have some pain, but it's usually not bad, especially at your age. And it's not gonna be particularly enjoyable. It's one thing most women say at your age when they're having their first experience.
And do you think? And after how's the relationship gonna get? Because I've been saying, like, right after. Oh my God, you guys. It gets this huge jealousy thing, and I don't know.
Well, it gets more intense. It's more of a biological bond at that point, and there's more at stake. And
well, you have a boyfriend you've been with for a while?
Yeah.
And you guys are in love?
Not really. I want to do it because I just want to get it over with already.
And why are you worried about what's going to happen in the relationship if you just want to do it? Because you know once you have sex, you can't go back to holding hands.
Yeah,
it's gonna change it.
I'm like. Because, I don't know, like, I'm not really worried about it. I'm just like, what's going to happen? Because me, I get bored with guys really easy. Like, I move from guys, and I don't know why I do that.
I mean, that usually means trouble with intimacy, of trouble becoming close to someone.
Yeah,
even it's interesting your sexuality. Even as you experience intercourse with someone, it's something separate from intimacy. It's something I just got to get over with. And, you know, it's something's up here.
Yeah. Where's Daddy?
He's here and there.
Here and there. Got that in? Write it down.
Here and there? All right.
Yeah.
That narrows it down to the planet. What do you mean? He's out of your life? He's in your life?
He's, like, he'll be here. Like, there's been trouble between my parents, so...
All right, listen, forget it.
Like, you, no,
look, unless, I can't, I don't want to argue with everybody. I'm a goddamn interpreter at the retard teenage UN. He's here, he's there. What's that mean? Well, sometimes he's here. Listen, I'm not going to squeeze everyone like a goddamn bar rag to get answers out of them. If you can't come up with an answer, fine, you don't come up with an answer. But here's how it works. You don't come up with an answer, we don't come up with an answer. We ask you a question about your past. You don't want to talk about it. We ask you a question about your family situation. You don't want to talk about it. That's fine. We work like a bank. The loan officer, you want money. You say, you know, the loan officer says, what kind of collateral do you have? You say, none of your goddamn business. And he says, fine.
Go away.
Go away. That's the way this works. So I would recommend that Heather hangs on to her virginity.
Yeah, very definitely. That you really look into her capacity to be close with people.
And don't just sort of get it over with, so to speak.
Yeah, it's something that's supposed to be part of an intimate expression, part of something, development of an intimacy, and it's going to create all kinds of heavy feelings that you're not going to be prepared for.
Yeah, see if you can establish a good relationship with a guy
before you do that. Yeah, well, maybe right now, but
sort of.
Time to sabotage that.
Sarah? Sarah, who is 15?
And sleeping.
Oh, Sarah's been on hold for 84 minutes and 49 seconds.
Yeah, she's gone.
Drew, that's almost an hour, is it not? It's 100 minutes in an hour, right? Hello? Sarah?
Oh.
Hey, Drew?
Yeah.
They don't have metric time, do they?
No.
It'd be a good idea.
Yeah, 100 minutes in an hour. All right?
100 somethings.
Yeah. Yeah, we call them hours. We'd need 100 of them in a day, too.
Yeah, it'd be like...
Or we could have 10 of them in a day, I guess.
But here's my point. There's too many, you know, sometimes I just sit around and think, wait a minute, how many ounces in a gallon? How many days in a week? How many minutes in an hour? It's all random. I just thought everything should just be 10 or 100. Let's go metric. Let's go metric with time.
It was coming in 1982.
No, it was coming in 1978 or something. Let's take a little break.
Yeah.
We'll be back in 10 hours. Or 10 minutes. Or 10 seconds. Some increment of 10. All right?
Yeah, 10 meconds.
10 meconds after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. DJ Qualls is our guest tonight. The new guys. The name of his movie. He is starring in it. He's a skinny white kid who's climbing the rope and having the fire set under him. And that is coming out this Friday. I was asking Drew if there was a metric time. I didn't know of any, neither did Drew. David says there is. David?
Hi.
Metric unit of keeping time?
Yeah, it's really cool. Hey, guys, I just want to, like, say that you guys are, like, my heroes.
Thank you.
I've been listening to you guys for, like, 2 years.
Thank you.
You guys are the best.
Thanks,
my
buddy.
My girlfriend got me onto you guys.
Thank her. Now, what's the metric unit of time?
It's kind of cool. My science teacher was raving about it last year. It's 100 minutes in an hour and 10 hours per day.
Oh, just like we said.
Yeah, it's...
We, me.
No, that's what I said the 10 hours a day, 100 minutes a day.
That's what I'd like. Does that work out to be 24, though?
No, it's only 10 hours per day. And it's 100 days a year.
Huh.
It's kind of weird.
No. But no one uses it.
No, it was actually made for, like, theory, he says. Like, possibly
all right.
It could happen.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. The Japanese will be using it next year.
Yeah.
And I was saying, there's milliseconds and microseconds and picoseconds.
Listen, I meant does it exist? Yeah. Does anyone use it? Not as someone theorized about it.
Yeah.
Okay? For years I've wanted to do the 8-day week so I could have the 3-day weekend every week.
Right.
But
right.
People aren't using it. It's just a theory. One of the things, though, I'm going to push through when I'm in charge, by the way.
Good times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Rick, who's 16. Rick?
Hey.
What's happening?
I've got kind of a unique problem. I'm 16, and pretty much a regular kid, I think, but I've still got 7 baby teeth.
Where?
Mostly my molars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even out of those, only 2 are loose, so.
Wow. And what does the dentist say?
He hasn't said anything. He says they'll eventually come in, but, you know, it's getting to a point when I'm kind of embarrassed, you know.
And are they small? Are they small?
Hmm?
Are they small?
They're regular size, but I mean...
Regular size.
I mean,
but it's still a very humiliating experience.
Yeah, like when you lose one, you know, what's that? Oh, I just lost a baby tooth. Oh. You know, most kids went through that when they were like 6th, 7th grade.
Yeah, people are always in my mouth.
Yeah.
It's like, what's that hole?
Yeah. Really, just big, make a big impact in your life, people?
Well, not really. I'm just wondering, teeth? You know, why.
Okay.
Most people went through that like 6th.
Well, when you're 16,
grade.
You don't want to be different in any way
right.
at all.
But on the other hand, no one can tell. And I don't know what this means. Is this delayed puberty? Do you have pubic hair and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I'm like 6 feet tall. You know, everything else is normal.
Everything works?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the dentist doesn't seem concerned?
Yeah.
That's fine. Hmm. I have to get a tooth pulled, not a baby tooth.
Uh-oh.
I'm hoping it's a teenage tooth.
Uh-oh.
Is there a third tooth in between baby and adult?
A young adult, an adolescent tooth.
Is there?
Oh,
no.
That's bad.
Yeah.
This is the one they've been working on for all this couple of years?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Thank God. Thank God I had the 3 root canals done on it before it's going to be pulled.
Are they going to be your bridge? Or
you know, when they start explaining what they're going to do to it, I just, listen, give me the 44 and let me just put it on my chin right now.
Sounds like medical malpractice. I used to work in personal injury.
Really?
Talk after the show, absolutely.
What else did you do? What jobs do you have?
I was also in the circus.
Really?
No, please. No, I worked in personal injury before I became an actor.
I'll tell you.
But is it personal pain and suffering through the roof?
No, the kind of lawyer who advertises on television.
You're an attorney?
No, paralegal. And it's completely unqualified, though, because that's how they make money. They use people who are unskilled to...
Do the legwork?
Yeah, to do all the legwork. I can do everything but litigate. If you're ever involved in an accident, you guys call me.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about my life? I consider that an accident.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's much you can do about that.
Something more specific? All right. I really like to sue my dentist with this tooth thing. Just the pain and humiliation. Now they got to pull the tooth. That's going to sound great. You know, and they can drug you up all they want. They can numb you up all you want. But you're going to hear some great sounds, aren't you?
Is it on the top or the bottom?
It's on the bottom.
All right. Well, that won't be so bad.
DJ was a dentist, too.
Yeah, I was a dentist.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And then they put the post down into the thing, and then they build a fake tooth.
Oh, so you're going to have the implant.
Ooh, you have to, or your teeth will shift, though, right?
I thought they just put a little bridge or something. He's going to have the real...
You're too old. I mean, you're too young to have a bunch of fake stuff in your mouth.
Oh, who cares? Who knows? Who cares?
But your people are going to make fun of you. They're going to look in your mouth and say, what's that hole?
What's that gap?
Yeah.
You're too young for that. Too old for that.
I'm going to say, what's that hole in your forehead? And they're going to say, what hole? And then that's when I hit them with the class ring. Jessica?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yeah.
Oh, I just got really depressed about my tooth. Go ahead.
Basically, I have 2 little sisters that I look out for a lot. And my dad has, like, a pornography problem where he keeps Playboys everywhere.
Just Playboys.
Yeah, well, he's not just Playboys. He also has, like, a voyeurism problem where I've caught him a couple times looking out of people's windows, stuff like that.
Ooh, looking out his house into the neighbor's yard?
No, like, going into the neighbor's yard and looking in the window.
Yeesh. You caught him actually on the neighbor's property looking through the window.
Yeah, but that was when I was 12, so I didn't know what to do about it.
Uh-huh. What about Mommy? Where's she?
Well, they're divorced. They've been divorced since I was 3.
And you're living with Dad?
I visit every once in a while.
And where do the sisters live?
With my dad. They're my half-sisters. My stepmom just doesn't seem to care at all. She knows about everything, but...
How old are they?
6 and 7.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. They'll be strippers. Or lesbians. This is horrible.
Have you talked to your dad about it?
I tried to confront him about 3 years ago, but he's the type of guy who blames everyone else.
Yeah, don't confront. Just say, can you lock this stuff up so my sister's not exposed to it? That's all.
Yeah, but that's really hard to do because a lot of parents are walking around with that mentality, like, I'm the parent, don't tell me what to do. I mean, if I said to my dad, change any of your behaviors, he would be like, get out of here.
Yeah, if I tried that on my dad, he would have went, who are you?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? What are you in my house?
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're an adult now. You're not having to live with him, right?
Well, that's the problem. I'm kind of almost at a legal position. I have to, you know, report anything. But, yeah, he's my dad, and He keeps them, you know, where my sisters can find them.
Okay, you know, listen. Jessica, why don't you have a sort of non-confrontational, sort of judgmental discussion with him where you can just go, you know, I've noticed this and I've noticed that, and it'd be best if the girls didn't see this, so maybe if you just kept it under the bed.
Yeah, yeah, I know you want what's best for them.
And just say, yeah, you send a little, people, especially a-holes, are much better at hearing things when you don't kind of come at them.
Well, that's what I said. She said she confronted him. It's not confrontation. It's just bring it to his attention.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, imagine the energy that she has with this world-class a-hole and her upbringing.
Right,
so
it's
hard to get into anything with him that doesn't end up coming without a bunch of poison spilling out.
Right.
Because it's all stored up.
Yep.
Think about that. All right, let's take a little break. We'll be right back. All right, I want to thank DJ Qualls for coming in here. The new guy, everybody, the new guy. It is in theaters on Friday. Please go out and see that movie. We would certainly appreciate it. And, DJ, come back when you're plugging the new movies, Lone Star State of Mind and The Core.
Yeah, if you're ever hard up for a guest, somebody doesn't show, just give me a call and I'll come over.
Really?
I'll be far away.
Pajama questions? Or
yeah.
To ask you questions.
Yeah, just call me.
Good. You're living in town?
Yeah. I live in Santa Monica.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's not really in town, though. I don't really count that as in town. But, yeah, we enjoyed having you. And, yeah, let's not make it 2 years when these movies come out. Come back, give them a plug in the fall.
Thanks a lot.
So, until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.